From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, October 31st, 2019. As expected, both of Maine's Democratic U.S. House members have voted to advance an impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump. The resolution voted on today by the House sets up the rules and procedures for such an inquiry. Former Maine Republican Congressman William Cohen is encouraging Americans to pay close attention to the impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump. Cohen, who voted for the impeachment of President Richard Nixon as a freshman congressman in 1974, told PBS NewsHour's Christiane Amanpour that people should check their partisan affiliation when assessing whether it's okay for Trump to ask foreign governments to dig up dirt on political rivals.
You may think it's okay for this president, but do you want to set the standard and lower the standards for every other president in the future? Because what is good for President Trump will be good for them.
Cohen, who also served in the Senate and as Secretary of Defense during the Clinton administration, says the president has publicly committed impeachable offenses and warned that Trump could be further emboldened if he's elected to a second term. He also says Trump's efforts to get Ukraine to investigate political rival Joe Biden isn't perfect, as the president asserts, but perfectly corrupt. As of today, the Farmington Fire Department has enough staff to cover all shifts after a propane explosion killed one firefighter and injured six others last month. Around 80 other departments have stepped in to help over the past 6 weeks. Farmington Deputy Chief Tim Hardy says three of the injured have returned to work and the rest are still recuperating at home.
We're calling it a new normal, and we're going to progress and go forward every day with our personnel that we have on hand.
Hardy says the department's morale is improving every day, and their thoughts are focused on a maintenance worker who was also injured in the blast, Larry Lord. He remains in serious condition at Massachusetts General Hospital. In the weather, tonight rain and fog statewide, heaviest in the northern mountains, quite breezy, especially along the coast. Tomorrow, very windy statewide. Rain ends in the north and east prior to noon, a mix of sun and clouds elsewhere. I'm Ed Morin.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at mainegardens.org. And Douglas Ridge, a new 280-acre eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, committed to net-zero home design. More at douglasridge.com.
Maine's governor and New Brunswick's premier are asking U.S. regulators for permission to find a new owner for an old dam that maintains water levels for the 16,000-acre East Grand Lake, a recreational haven for citizens of both countries. But as Fred Bever reports, the dam's current owner is dropping plans to help pay for its future upkeep.
Historically, the 19th-century Forest City Dam contributed to power production for plant operations at a downstream mill in Baileyville, now owned by Woodland Pulp and Paper. But the company has been trying to surrender the dam, saying that a new license required by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission would raise company costs $6 million over time. So far, FERC has balked at ending the relicensing requirements. Without a way out, Woodland Pulp and Paper could abandon operations and maintenance of the U.S. side of the dam, which would result in a drawdown of East Grand Lake's water by as much as 6 feet, leaving area residences, lodges, and ecosystems high and dry. Now, Maine Governor Janet Mills and New Brunswick Premier Blaine Higgs are entering the fray.
I mean, it shouldn't be a problem of difficulty. It should be pretty straightforward.
Premier Higgs has a strong personal connection to the tiny community of Forest City at the center of this international conundrum. He grew up there.
One of my first jobs was working at Wheaton's Lodge. And at that time, you know, visas weren't necessarily a big issue. And I was like 15 years old, and I'd come home from school. I'd walk across to Wheaton's Lodge, and I'd put the ice buckets up for the fishermen and build fires on in the camp so that when they came in from the lake, they were the cottage, the camps were warm, and they had the ice for the drinks.
Earlier this year, the Mills administration surprised many attending a FERC meeting in nearby Danforth by backing away from a proposal first floated by former Governor Paula Page's administration that the state take over the dam. Instead, says Tim Peabody, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, the state is now focused on an agreement with New Brunswick, which attempts to meet several goals. One is to create a new model for managing water flows from the lake in a way that would preserve its ecological and recreational values, but that would also substantially reduce the dam's contributions to power generation downstream, thus avoiding FERC's costly relicensing requirements.
To get as close as you can to taking it out of the mix altogether, to take it as close as you can to run of the river.
Peabody says the state and province will also work to identify a third party to own and manage the dam.
Of course, there's going to be a cost, and whether it's shared by Maine, New Brunswick, third-party owner, that's what the question is.
One group Peabody says might be the right third party is a nonprofit that includes residents from both countries called the Chipatneticook Lakes International Conservancy.
That would be news to us, I think.
David Townsend, a Canadian who now winters in Florida, is president of the Conservancy. The group earlier this year floated the idea of taking over the dam, but whether the terms of what Maine, New Brunswick, and federal regulators might propose would be feasible, he says, is unknown.
Would we have to raise money ourselves for all the expenses? I mean, lake associations have been sunk by extensive expenses over time for taking over dams. And this is a rock crib dam as opposed to a concrete dam. And it needs sort of maintenance on a regular basis to make sure that everything's stable.
And those costs could be higher than once thought, because Woodland Pulp and Paper, which is owned by a Hong Kong-based conglomerate, is dropping an offer to help out. Previously, the company said it would operate and maintain the dam as long as ownership and FERC licensing expenses were not part of the picture. But according to company spokesman Scott Beal, that offer is now off the table.
I don't expect that we'll be involved financially. But if there are some other things that we can do with some of the past hydro modeling that we've done, if any of that is of any value to the state or the commission in revisiting that going forward, of course, we would be very supportive.
Premier Higgs says he is disappointed by that withdrawal of support and will need to consider its ramifications. A spokesman for Maine's Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife says the administration remains committed to the principles outlined in the joint letter to FERC. A FERC spokeswoman had no comment beyond saying the agency would review any proposals it receives. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And you can read the joint proposal by Governor Mills and Premier Higgs on our website, mainepublic.org. One of the most difficult issues facing lawmakers and Governor Janet Mills in the months ahead is how to adequately fund the state's roads and bridges. The cost of repairs and reconstruction continues to increase, and fuel taxes have not kept pace as Mainers move to more fuel-efficient vehicles. As part of his continuing series of interviews with Maine newsmakers, Mal Leary spoke with Governor Mills about her views on transportation policy.
Let's start with one of the big ones is transportation.
Yes.
We have a bond issue on the ballot next week. How important is it for that bond issue to pass?
Oh, absolutely critical. You know, recently the American Society of Civil Engineers gave Maine's infrastructure network, roads, bridges, et cetera, a grade of C-. And other people have reported that, allegedly, Maine has the fourth worst infrastructure in the nation. Not a good record. Now, at the same time, we're one of the most rural states in the country. We have the most dispersed population of any state in the country. So those are challenges. Everybody who moves into the suburbs wants a perfectly paved road, come right to their driveway and come right to their house. And, you know, we try to accommodate that at the local and the state level. But highway maintenance is a big challenge, both in the major highways and the secondary roads.
But a general fund bond issue is just kind of a stopgap.
It is.
Because we're falling behind.
It is.
Right,
yes.
Now, the backlog, I believe, is somewhere around $160 million in projects we should be working on, but there's not enough resources. So how do we get to a point where we've got enough money from whatever resources to get the roads fixed?
Right, and others estimate that we need another $230-something million to fill a gap in needs. I'm not an engineer. I don't make those estimates. I rely on those experts to do that. But that's exactly why I signed into law an emergency bill this spring to create a Blue Ribbon Commission, which has already met several times, which is a very bipartisan commission with drawing on the expertise of the trucking industry, businesses, contractors and whatnot to help find us solutions.
I've got to bring up the gas tax because you mentioned
why.
You mentioned that the group is being bipartisan, yet I just saw a whole bunch of social media ads talking about Janet Mills' secret 20-cent gas tax increase.
Really?
So
not
I mean,
from me.
it's from Republican
yeah.
sources.
Oh, I'm shocked.
So, you know, how do you deal with that when they're kind of setting up this straw dog right now that you can't have a gas tax increase as part of the solution?
I don't respond to partisan social media attacks and trolls and the like. They're not worthy of responding to. I continue to talk with members of both parties in the legislature. These are highways across Maine. They're in Democratic districts and Republican districts. They are not Democratic roads or Republican roads. They're our roads. We share the roads. We share the burden of keeping them maintained. I don't know anybody who hasn't hit a bad pothole this spring. Do you know anybody who hasn't hit a pothole and said, well, had cursed? And I share that feeling.
But aren't you going to have some new money here? I don't know where it's going to come from anymore that you do, whether it's excise fees or a per-mile charge on electric cars and putting that into the highway fund. Aren't you going to have some new revenue to make this thing work, or are you going to be stuck with another bond issue?
They're going to need to make some recommendations about revenue sources in general, yes. Not necessarily taxes or fees, but and I don't pretend to know exactly what they're looking at. I have not been to the meetings. That's why I gathered them together, because they have the expertise and I do not.
The reality is, don't you have to have new revenues?
There may be resources, revenue resources that I don't know about. I know that if you look at the chart of what has happened in the last 12 years, we have done too much skim coating of roads and too little reconstruction of roads, which is why ultimately that's a hidden tax. When you don't repair and maintain roads appropriately to the best level, then roads are in further disrepair a few years later, and you're paying more to repair those roads that weren't done properly or completely to begin with.
They may come back and say, well, we need a small gas tax increase, and we need a little tax here, and we need a fee here. You open to listening to what they have to propose?
I have an open mind. I trust the members of this commission to give me their best information, their best recommendations. That's about it. I can't. You're asking me to speculate about what they're going to come back with, and I just can't do that.
I don't think I'm asking you to speculate. I'm asking you, will you be open if they come back with some sort of new revenue? Because that's what I'm hearing from commission members is we can't close that gap without some more money.
They were asked to look at and evaluate the current funding system, which is basically the gas tax and some fees and whatnot, and recommend options. That's what I expect them to do.
Do you think you can get a solution that's going to hold up, a long-term solution? I know that's what you want, in this upcoming session when the commission reports back.
Whatever solution they propose, I hope that it is fair, that it respects the privacy of consumers and users of the roads, that is equitable, and that it is simple and efficient to administer, and it's based on use.
Governor Mills, thank you very much for taking time to talk about transportation policy.
Governor Janet Mills speaking with Maine Public's Mal Leary. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 for a look at daylight savings time. I'm Ed Morin.